In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes people come from nowhere and surprise us with their abilities. We're so trained to judge a book by its cover, even if we try not to, that these people can be a challenge to our sensibilities. From a few years ago, think of Susan Boyle, not your typical star. As one of the papers of the day said, the voice of an angel, but terrible hair. Sometimes people surprise us with their unconventional approach. Think of Gandhi and his passive resistance by sitting down. And in the sphere of God's influence, it's often the unusual, the different, the unexpected who are used for prophetic purposes. If you feel unusual or different, well then, maybe you're being called to be prophetic. In the Gospel, John the Baptist comes from nowhere, as abrupt as the start and end of Mark's Gospel. He looks odd. He's wild-looking, lives in strange places, eats strange food. Although locusts and wild honey might be something that Heston Blumenthal would do. He wears the clothes of the desert, eats the food of the desert, and his raison d'etre is baptizing. This is Mark's Gospel, the good news about Jesus. But good news for who? At the time of writing, a Gospel, an Evangel, as they were called, was used as a proclamation across the empire, such as to announce a new emperor. Everyone had to take note, as it was unequivocally the truth. A bit different to things today, then. So is what John was saying good news? Well, if you're going to be a follower of this new king, yes. In the reading, there's also a lot of talk about repentance and forgiveness. But let's gloss over that and rush straight to Christmas. Better to be with the baby Jesus than the one that overturns tables. After all, a baby is always good news. But what Mark is pointing to is the one who is the good news. The first hearers would have realised that John's message was of great importance because of how it framed God's chosen people. They see it in the answering of prophecies in Isaiah and Malachi. The location for John is of enormous importance. The desert. God always speaks to God's people in desert places. God takes them from the comfortable, the busyness of lives, into the quiet of the wilderness. If you're in a desert place with faith at the moment, this is where God can speak the most. A place where we have no resources left of our own. Going into the desert breaks away from Jerusalem, the norm, the comfortable. John's clothing, his food, his location all spoke to the contemporary people of Elijah, someone who was compelled to speak on God's behalf, who wasn't frightened by anyone in authority. They thought in John they saw Elijah's second career. Had he come back to foretell of the imminent coming of God? Is that good news? That depends what people do in response, because repentance leads to hope of galactic proportions. That's the Holy Spirit. In each one of us now, no matter how you feel. So where are we on our journey through Advent? What do we think about pictures of hairy, wet prophets calling out loudly that we need to think about our lives, repent, turn away from the things we say and do, which hurt us and other people? Because God says we're to get in that river and be soaked through so that we can go on our way clean and right with God, Perhaps we should reflect on our baptisms and the ongoing journey that puts us on. In The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, there's an interesting passage that is a great metaphor for this sort of reflection. Peter, Susan, Edmund and Lucy learn that Aslan is a lion. They're shocked and a little afraid. "Is he safe?" they ask. "Who said anything about safe?" says Mr. Beaver. "Course he isn't safe, but he's good." So just think, we might be challenged this Advent to prepare the way of the Lord into our lives once again, or to renew our search for purpose and meaning if we feel we're drifting aimlessly. If we're busy, stressed and overwhelmed by all there is to do, we may be challenged to clear a space, just a little one, for God to reach us. Just a little break from noisy busyness to listen for that still small voice speaking peace on earth. Or we might be energised by an exciting, urgent voice telling us to get up and do something to bring God's kingdom nearer. Perhaps we are called to be prophetic voices in our day, called to speak tenderly to God's people, in preparation for the day when the glory of the Lord will once again be revealed. Whatever God's challenge to us this Advent, whether it's unexpected and scary, or reassuring and gentle, one thing we can be sure is that it will be coming from a God of goodness and love, who wants only to see our salvation. We know that the world is not as just, not as loving, not as whole as we know it can be and should be. But the coming of Christ and his presence among us, as one of us, gives us reason to live in hope, that light will shatter the darkness, that we can be liberated from our fears and prejudices, and that we are never alone or abandoned. Amen.
Oh. presence.